Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Good morning. Hope you're having a good holiday so far. Thanks for being here. I am not Matt Peterson, as you can tell. My name is Josh Young. My wife and I, we've got five children. We've been going to Awake here since 2015. But for those that know me, know that I've worked with Matt in a Christian organization digging wells in Africa called Hydrating Humanity. We share the gospel there, and I've been doing that with him since 2007. So Matt asked if I could share today. I'm excited to do so. And of course, we've been through the Revelation series. I don't know about you, but that's been amazing, hasn't it? I don't spend a ton of time in Revelation. I've read through it. I've studied it a bit. But it's always great to get a reminder that we are living in light of eternity. Right? It puts things in perspective. The king is coming back for his bride. That's an exciting thing. And I love how Matt talked about we are to endure to the end, right? I'm not going to continue the series on Revelation, but I do want to talk and kind of pick up on enduring, living victoriously here as we're walking it out, so to speak. So I love the quote from Gladiator. You may have heard it before. What we do in life echoes in eternity. There's something about running our race here that's really important, that we can live lives fully alive. And to me, and what I want to speak on today, one of the key aspects of how we live victoriously is being able to see things as Jesus sees them. Talk about a superpower. I mean, if you can tap into heavenly perspective in everything that you relate to, it would transform relationships, how you see yourself. To me, that would be living victoriously. We know that we've got promise, and I'm going to share some of this today and try and encourage you. The four areas that I'm going to focus on, and you could talk about this, each of these could probably be their own message, but the four areas, first and foremost, are lens in how we see God, how we see ourselves, how we see others, and how we see our circumstances. Key stuff here. And of course, when I say lens, I mean, this is the filter. I mean, we're taking things in with our natural eyes, through our spirit, our interpretations, all of these things that we're kind of internalizing, externalizing. It creates a perspective. It creates a lens that you choose to see through. And so how do we tap into and get the right lens? You know, a scripture that Matt shared a couple times over the last couple weeks, and it's the one that we've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in him, and he is in us. I don't know about you, but I get a picture of that in my mind of heavenly perspective. Here we are, Matt talked about first heaven, Christ seated, third heaven. We're with him. To me, that speaks of a perspective that we get to tap into and that we get to see. We also know that we can think like Christ by the power of his spirit. We have access. Here we go, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which we have not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those that love him. That's amazing. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Goes on in 16 to say, for who has known the mind of the Lord that will instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That's exciting and good news. That means we get to think differently than our own carnal thoughts. What about Romans 12:2? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We have got to renew our minds. Everything flows from that. We've got to renew our minds. I mean, you want to know what the will of God is? Renew your mind. You want to know what is good? Renew your mind. Let's look at Ephesians 4:23. I've got a lot of scriptures today, so I'm going to be moving through them. Ephesians 4:23, and that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Boy, if you take anything away from today and be encouraged with anything, is that you've got access. Provision has been made for you to think and see differently. So how we see the Lord, this is a big one. Everything, and I mean everything, flows from this lens, this perspective. And how do we get to know somebody? It's time with that person. It's intimacy. When we spend time with the Father, we get to know him, his nature, his character, his goodness, his love, who he is for us. And that is despite anything around us. We have got to have the right lens of who God is. You could spend weeks and months talking about who God is, but it's a part of our privilege as believers. We get to do this forever. We can't obviously cover it today. I want to take one aspect, and it's a starting place of love. And this has got to be super clear for us. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Some translations are singing over you. Whether he's shouting or singing, that's a pretty amazing thought. That the God of the universe is singing over you. He's shouting over you. That's our starting place. That's our lens. That's who God is. And what about John 3:16? I mean, that's the mic drop of love personified. For God so loved the world. Put me in there instead of world. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's our starting place. Lamentations 3:21. I recall this to my mind, therefore I wait. The Lord's acts of mercy indeed do not end, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His compassion, his mercy, his goodness, his faithfulness. 1 John 3:1 talks about how great the love of the Father is, that we would be called children, because that is what we are. A few years ago, I was driving in the car. It was a time we were going through some pretty hard stuff. And so I was just choosing to worship. I'm driving, I'm by myself. I'm, you know, interacting with the Lord. And I just had a thought. I don't remember even if I said it out loud or not. But it was, God, I know you love me. Could you just show me, just peel back the curtain a little bit more? I need it. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed in the car. I started weeping instantly. I wasn't working myself up for it. It was like a love bomb went off. It was incredible. Has anyone experienced that? Where like the atmosphere shifts and the love of God crushes you in such a great way? I mean, I was wrecked driving. I'm sure I was a spectacle to those that drove past me. Maybe thinking I was listening to an old 80s love song or something. I didn't care, honestly. It was amazing. But I also had the thought that this was just a little bit more. He loves us so much. That is our lens. That is our starting place. That is our anchor, no matter what is going on around us. I'm telling you, if we allow disappointments, unmet expectations, wrong perspectives to get in there, it's going to be trouble. I've got one more scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. This is a favorite one, I'm sure, of most. Because for the Lord says, "For I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That's God's intention. That's God's intention. And listen, I want to be sober-minded about this. I really do. I can kind of relate to Peter's indignation. I would never deny the Lord. Trust me. Wouldn't happen. I'd rather die. What happened to Peter? Maybe we've all experienced strong believers that that had walked with the Lord a long time that are no longer walking with the Lord. Why? How did that happen? Something got in there and skewed their lens of who God was. Whether it was expectations and disappointment, hard situations, they stopped spending time with the Lord, something got off, but they're not walking with the Lord. We need to be sober-minded about this and make sure that, A, we're spending time with the Lord, but keeping that lens really clean on who he is. So how we see ourselves, goodness, there's a lot of self-hatred out there, self-loathing. It's not just in the outside world. I think as believers, you know, we can have a tendency to be pretty critical of ourselves. We're not measuring up. We can't get through things. We're always failing. You know, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's really important that we see ourselves the way God sees us. You know, God sees us through a lens of the shed blood of Jesus. I believe he sees us at our highest potential. And we have got to see ourselves the way that the Lord sees us. I wonder how often we've disqualified ourselves. There's life and death in the tongue. And some of you, whether you know it or not, you're cursing yourself. I'm never good enough. I can't get through this. I'm never going to change. If you're thinking, if this is your internal process or you're externalizing that in words, stop. Stop it. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You are God's workmanship. He created you with a plan and a purpose. Psalm 139:13, for you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. You feel that way about yourself? I'm awesomely and wonderfully made. I'm guessing, at least for me, there's times I don't feel that way about myself. And the Bible is full of stories of people that did amazing things, that didn't see themselves the way God saw them. Jeremiah, the mouthpiece of the Lord. I'm too young. I'm too young. God actually corrected him. Don't say that. Don't say it. I'm too young. I'm going to partner with you in this. Stop that. What about Moses? God, I can't do this. I'm not a leader. What did he say about himself? He said, I am slow of speech and tongue. He said, please, choose somebody else. You know, I'm thankful God worked past their own inadequacy, that he didn't allow them to just miss what their destiny was because of them seeing themselves through the wrong lens. What about Gideon? Gideon said, pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? I'm the least of my family. I love how God addressed him at the same time he was saying, I'm the least. He was calling him man of valor. God saw something in Gideon that he didn't see in himself. And he called it forth. It's really important. I don't know about you, but I want God's perspective of how he's made me. Not so that I can think I'm great or be prideful, but because God takes great pleasure in partnering with people like you and me. He does. He takes great pleasure in that. Despite your inadequacy, we need to tap into that perspective. How we see others. This is really important. Seeing others through God's eyes, I think, will open up amazing opportunities. I wrote myself this note a while back, and I'll just read it to you. Having the Lord's lens or perspective for others will create amazing opportunities to minister healing, wholeness, salvation. If we want to be walking in, I think it's all of our purpose to share God's love, to love others well, to see people saved, healed, set free. If we can see people as the Lord sees them, that's going to open up the doors for this ministry, right? To see people how God sees them. Their qualities, their highest potential. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created mankind in his own image. That means everybody. Democrats, Republicans, independents. No, but seriously, everybody, right? It's not who we get to pick and choose. It's everybody. That's our starting place. We were made in his image. On the opposite side, I tell you, it's easy to really see people through a lens of negativity. Calling out their worst, seeing their worst, having a perspective of people that, you know, it even says, and I'll share a scripture, but we begin to hate. There's malice involved. That is a dangerous lens, especially because these are God, you know, we're God's creation. Titus 3 says, for we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. That's kind of our old nature, right? I mean, and that is not great. Were we living in malice and envy and hatred? You see a lot of that out there, don't we? There is a lot of hatred out there. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds, which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. There's a renewing by the Holy Spirit. And again, we're talking about this in light of renewing our minds, the mind of Christ, heavenly perspective, seeing others at their best. And we need to in order to really see people in that way. You know, one thing that I've seen along the way, rip families, marriages, relationships apart, is when criticism or criticalness gets in there. A critical spirit, if you will. It's devastating. It absolutely rips relationships apart. I know because I had to deal with it. My parents left to move across the state when I was 17. I stayed with a friend and then moved myself to college. I didn't live at home. I was a college athlete, so I never really went home during the summers. I really lived away from home until my wife and I decided to move back close to my family, which was at 26. I tell you, the way that I viewed my dad at 17 and 26 was a little bit different. It was different. I had been in professional jobs. I had lived in Europe. at different points. I had a lot more life experience. And I'm telling you, what I started to do was pick him apart, honestly. Why does he do this? Why did he say that? Why does he do this? Or his marriage, or the way that he does this with his time and everything else. And my lens started getting unclean, if you will. And it got really bad that I kind of didn't want to be around him. And I was crying out to the Lord. I mean, this was really bothering me. And I said, God, he needs to change. You know what God said? He said, you need to repent. And I was like, me? But he did. You need to repent. And not only do you need to repent, but you've allowed a critical spirit to operate here. And anything that you see is skewed. And how true that is. I mean, we can take a text message and read it the wrong way. If we're seeing one another, and this is like the definition of a skewed lens, is that critical spirit. Everything that you interpret about that person is off. And we feel justified because there's probably a little bit of truth to it. It doesn't mean that the other person's perfect. It just means we're not seeing it clearly. So I repented on the spot. And I know that the Lord has given us authority. And so I commanded that critical spirit to get out in Jesus' name. I don't want to operate in that. Within 24 hours, it was different. I'm not kidding you. It's not an exaggeration. Did my dad change in 24 hours? No, he did not. But I did. I was able to see his qualities. He has so many. He's an amazing guy. 7 children, been through a lot of experiences, tons of wisdom, military veteran, 2 tours in Vietnam. I mean, just an amazing guy with a ton to give, and really a good father. But I got to see that again afresh. I started to see his good aspects, not being hung up on what he did or didn't do in a negative lens. It was life-changing. And it was on me. It wasn't on him. We have got to judiciously get rid of that in our personal relationships. If that's been allowed to operate, stop it. We have got to see each other as the Lord sees us. You know, one other thing that the Lord highlighted to me a few years ago, and we all know that the Lord's given us gifts, right? Each of them a little bit different. There's certainly some overlapping. You all have been gifted by the Lord. He gives good gifts. And the Lord showed me something that was breaking his heart as it relates to the gifts that he gives his kids. It was this, that the very areas that he had gifted someone was the same area that they were the most judgmental against somebody else for not being that way, and they didn't even know it. So there the Lord gave them a gift, whether they acknowledge it or not, and that is a place that they can stand in judgment because someone else doesn't get it like they do. That is heartbreaking. I mean, for those that have kids, I mean, imagine giving one of your kids a great gift and then they go and abuse that and abuse their sibling with it. That was tough to see, and certainly helped me and hopefully see people and things and situations a little bit differently. How we see our circumstances, you know, walking victory to victory does not mean we get every prayer answered. I don't know about you, but there are prayers that I'm thankful the Lord was quiet on. Or said no to. I'm thankful standing here. You know, the Lord knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. We don't. To me, walking in victory means that you're not moved by adversity. You're not crushed. You're not taken out by circumstances. If we don't tap into heavenly perspective about what we're going through, we're going to live a life and a mentality of this too shall pass. Do you know this too shall pass is not in the scripture? It's not. And I get it. I think people going through acute pain, and we've all been there, going through really hard stuff, it's a way to kind of encourage ourselves or others to say, you're going to get through this. And when you put it in light of scripture, it's saying, hey, God is in this with you. And that's great. I'm talking about a mentality because we all know we're guaranteed circumstances. We're guaranteed adversity. It says that in the scripture. We're guaranteed to walk through tough stuff. So if we keep living, if I can only get through this, we get through this, we step into another circumstance or situation, and then we say, if I could only get through this, and you can see how we have a pattern of living far less than what the Lord has intended for us. We shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We are to tap into joy and peace. And that is despite any circumstance we're going through. We've got to see our situations as God sees them. And I think a part of that is going from constantly feel like we're surviving to really the ways that the Lord wants us to thrive. We have got to be so anchored in God's view that there's not a circumstance that's going to take us out. There's not a difficulty that's going to ruin us, have our hearts grow cold, see God in a negative lens. Sometimes that means being less outcome-focused and more God and relationship-focused. We have such a tendency to focus on outcomes. If only this could happen for us in this way, then I'm going to be in much better shape. I'm going to be able to do this, or I'm going to be able to do that. And we can be God-focused, relationship-focused. We know there's lots of scripture that encourages us to do so. You know in scripture that we are improved by the things that we suffer? We're improved by them. I think we have to look at suffering a little bit differently. Of course, nobody likes to suffer. But if we have the right lens, God has something for us in it. He really does. We know all things work to our good. We love that scripture, and it's true. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered as a human, you should also arm yourselves with his way of thinking. There it is, his way of thinking, right? We've got to arm ourselves. This is because whoever suffers is finished with sin. I would encourage you to go back and look at 1 Peter 4:1 and 2. There is so much and so many layers in this scripture. Whoever suffers is finished with sin. As a result, they don't live the rest of their human lives in ways determined by human desires, but in ways determined by God's will. There's something about suffering that God has good stuff in mind for you. Of course, we all know James 1, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. And we know what that does for us. The testing of our faith produces perseverance, and that finishing its work that we can be mature and complete, lacking, not lacking anything. How well do you suffer? I know I don't do so well sometimes. I can have a tendency to get angry. You know, part of when I feel like the enemy's messing, especially with my family, I want to fight. I get angry. I really do. I want to, if only I could get my hands on him or something, you know, I would do it. I was a college wrestler, and man, if I could get a hold of the enemy sometimes. But Romans 5, 3, and 4 says this: not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Am I giving you enough reasons today that suffering can be good if we choose to see it that way? You know, psychologists, neurologists have discovered that facing adversity and setbacks is great for personal development. It's true. All the self-help books, the psychologists, the studies of the brain, I mean, all of that is agreeing with Scripture, that there's something about tough stuff that if you can see it right, if you can have the right mindset and the right stance, and we know that we get to tap into heavenly perspective, God's mindset, the mind of Christ, how good it can be for us. And what about the eternal glory that the Lord has offered to us through suffering? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this is Romans 8:18, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. There's glory to be revealed in it. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says something very similar. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. If we choose to see suffering as something of value, it's going to change us. We're not going to be taken out. We're going to be anchored. The other thing I wanted to mention as it relates to how we see, of course, I covered the four that I wanted to, but what about our future? What about the plan and purpose that God has for you? What about that lens? Not just our daily interaction of having the right lens towards God, ourselves, others, or circumstances. What about our futures? We've got to see God's good plan for us through a lens of promise. I love the story of Joshua and Caleb. Of course, I was named after Joshua in the Bible. I named my oldest son Caleb. I love the story. I love the story of their courage. We all know it, the 12 spies that were sent to spy out Canaan. Moses had the promise from the Lord that this is the land for you, your promised land. You know, these spies, the 12 that went, they were leaders of their tribe. It wasn't a random selection. Of course, we know the story. They all go in. All 12 saw the same thing with their natural eyes. They saw the giants. They saw the impossibility. They saw the fortresses. And only two chose to see through a lens of God's promise. I love what Caleb did there. Let's get them. We got this. I love that. They chose to see differently what others saw in the natural. Of course, we know what happens to the 10. They died of plague. We know what happened to the rest of the Israelites that chose to bought into fear. They never saw the land that God promised them. So there's something that we need to tap into as it relates to our future, to our promise. We've got to see it as God sees it. So with that said, what giants are you looking at? How are you seeing the Lord? How are you seeing others? How are you seeing your circumstances? What is your view of the suffering that you might be going through? Can you guys stand with me? I want to give you just a minute or two. If there's anything that was highlighted, ways that you've allowed the enemy to get in there and skew how you see things, just take a minute. The Lord wants to make an exchange this morning. He wants to clean up your perspective, your lens, and how you see everything. If you need to ask for forgiveness, He's right there. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, God, for how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, that we can have the mind of Christ. We choose it today. By faith, we put on and see others, see ourselves, see you through the right lens, heavenly perspective. God, and those going through difficulty, Lord, I just pray an extra amount of grace for them to see you in it with them. They are not alone. You are with them. Lord, help them see it as you see it. You are not moved or in fear. Lord, by faith right now, we make an exchange. Clean us up. Holy Spirit, come. We make an exchange. We want to see each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ, through the right lens. Lord, thank you for this access, this availability, the provision that you made on the cross. Lord, I pray that this would be an anchor point. Lord, we want to live victoriously, and seeing as you see is a key. Thank you, Holy Spirit. By faith, we receive. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.